This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Okay, time for now for us to chat, if that's okay with you, because it seems like only a couple of weeks ago that the majority of us got our heads around ChatGPT. But now the highly anticipated update to ChatGPT has been released earlier on this week by the creators OpenAI, with immediate access available on Microsoft's search engine Bing Chat and a waiting list opened to developers. So just how different is ChatGPT-4 from ChatGPT that went before? Let's find out from the director of the Hilary Ballon Centre for Teaching and Learning, Associate Professor of Practice Political Science at NYU Abu Dhabi's Sadia Campus, Nancy W. Gleeson, joining us now live on the line. Nancy, thanks so much indeed for your time.
Always fun to be with you all. Good morning. I don't know how you get up this early every single day.
Caffeine and loads of it. I'm not sure that's the best approach to the world, but we never know. And who knows how long we'll be doing it as well, Nancy, given, of course, the rise of ChatGPT. The question we've got this morning is, how different is version 4 from the one that went before?
Yeah, it's actually much more sophisticated. It may not do all the things it initially promised. So the rumor was that it would be, quote, multimodal, which means it could take a photo and turn it into text for you. That option is not available to the average public. And GPT-4 is behind a paywall, so you need to pay $20 US a month for access to their subscription. But if you do get into all of that, it is substantially more sophisticated than ChatGPT that existed before that. So it's a big leap. It can take much more text, 25,000 words. It can produce much more sophisticated summaries and access to more resources, and it moves a lot faster.
Well, we mentioned a lot of people have been talking about the hype ahead of this launch. Does it live up to the hype?
I think it does. There's some debate in the computer science world about they still don't have all the information because OpenAI is not sharing the data it's drawing from. But if you get out of the weeds of that, for the average user, the hype is definitely worth it.
In terms of cautions and approaching with caution as well, we've talked, you know, a lot about the capabilities, but there's also been chat about the limitations. I mean, from your understanding, your better working knowledge of ChatGPT and all its versions at the moment, where should we as individuals, but also as organizations, take caution?
Yes, this is a really important question because it still contains social biases. Mm. So it's not connected to the internet. It doesn't have all the ugliness of Bing AI, which is also only available to a select group of people But it still has what they call hallucinations. So it makes up things, very convincingly explains them, but they're completely untrue. And it does still do what they call adversarial prompts. So these are things that you need information literacy to respond to. You have to already know stuff to know how you may be, quote unquote, tricked by the algorithm, because the way it writes is very convincing. The other thing is it does stop, its pre-trained data stops in 2001. So if you're asking it things about recent events, it's only guessing on those things based on what other people have typed in. It's not been trained on that. So you have to know that things happening in 2023, it doesn't necessarily know about. And then finally, it still has biases against many different cultures that already exist in the literature. So you have to be aware of those social biases as well.
Good to know. But I suppose this is the time that I need to cut to the quick, if I may, Nancy, and ask the question that myself, Richard, and well, basically the rest of the world want to know the answer to. Is ChatGPT going to take my job?
It's going to change jobs for hundreds of millions of people. We already see reports of 30 to 40% use place in the workplace for those who work with computers. But basically, we have to learn to do our jobs in new ways, and we need to build new skills quickly. This is a big problem for chief human resources officers. For small firms, it's a problem for the whole company. But you're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to someone else who knows how to use it.
So it is going to impact the future of work.
Absolutely. This is a story about the future of work. This is a small piece of a large shift in what it means to work. And what the big fundamental change is that it's changing the nature of expertise. It will change how we hire, how we credential, how we retain people. And if you're in the workplace and you don't already have an account, now is the time to sit down with some friends, log in, and teach yourselves how to use it.
Is it also going to change the future of education? I suppose the question I'm getting at is, would you use it as a resource in your class?
Yeah, so at NYU Abu Dhabi, we have regular conversations about how to integrate this into our classrooms, how to change assessments to be more process-based instead of outcome-based. So instead of grading the paper, you can grade the process of writing the paper. But absolutely, this fundamentally changes the work of educational institutions. And here in the UAE, the Ministry of Education is already out in front of this. During the World Government Summit, the Minister of Education announced that in the K-12 schools, all schools will receive individualized ChatGPT-enabled AI tutors. So this is coming in the education system, and structurally and pedagogically, teachers need to be ready.
And just fun, I've got 30 seconds left with you, Nancy, just in terms of my daughter's about to sit her A-levels. She reckons she's going to fly it thanks to ChatGPT, etc. A word of wisdom for parents out there worried a little bit?
I think you should be worried. You should be having conversations with your students. You should make a home academic integrity agreement with your students and think about where it's okay for them to use it and where it's not. It's typically not considered plagiarism. It's fraud to use it. So in an academic setting. So you want to talk to your students about when and why this is not okay and when and why it should be a tool that's taught and exploited.
There is no cutting corners, is there, when it comes to education? Nancy, thanks for getting up nice and early to speak to us this morning. Much appreciate your time. Thanks for making it a lot more clearer as well. That is Nancy Gleeson, Director of the Hilary Bellon Centre for Teaching and Learning, the Associate Professor of Practice Political Science at NYU Abu Dhabi, based out of the Sadia campus in Abu Dhabi. Our thanks to Nancy.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.